Hallelujah. Well, good morning. I want to say good morning and welcome everybody to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I was praying this weekend and I was just thankful that the Lord meets us right where we're at and that each of us can have a confidence that God is going to help us through every step of this thing called life. Amen. And so, let's just embrace the goodness of the Lord. And I thank God that the Bible says that when we come together in unity, the commanded blessing of God comes upon us. Amen? So this morning, we're just going to be thankful for that corporate feeling of unity and worship. And as we enter into God, His presence is just going to be upon us. And we're just going to be thankful for His goodness. So God bless you. Hallelujah.
This morning, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It says that if we don't, the rocks will cry out in our place. No rock's going to cry out for me. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship Him this morning. Let's just send a sweet smelling aroma up to Him. Let's please Him with our worship this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To sing in your valley, to look toward your goodness. My heart set on who you are. You're the light that consumes the dark. The joy and the strength to lift up my hands and sing.
Make this place an altar.
you, Jesus. We do errors, we just redo it. Amen? We just fix it because he is worthy of us to do it right. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. That you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So let the wind come drench us in love, and let your glory rush in like a flood. If it's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. Truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway, 'cause here I am, Lord, send me. If it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey, 'cause here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I choose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. Lord, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here.
Nothing else.
Just
than anything, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just want you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Hallelujah.
Whew.
Jesus.
So
amen.
Good, Jesus.
Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen.
All the time.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, it's a little chilly this morning. I was reminded of the fact that winter is coming soon. Amen. Hallelujah. And like it is with any season that comes into our life, it's always good to be prepared. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honey, do you got some announcements?
We got a few. The teen get together is coming up September 23rd.
Amen.
Huh? It's this coming Saturday.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to set a new date for the thing because I didn't talk about it soon enough. And it's so we are going to have a harvest fest or whatever you want to call it get together.
Yeah.
It'll be in October and we'll get you that date next week.
Amen.
Next Sunday.
And then for the men, I would like to tell you that November 5th through the 8th, which is a Sunday afternoon to Wednesday afternoon, we are going to have a fast, and we're just going to commit some things and some priorities to God and get ourselves set as we get ready to vision into the new year. So that's November 5th through 8th. That's a Sunday evening through a Wednesday, and we're going to actually come in here and be meeting each day. So at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening, we'll come together here and spend some time together and just go through some things with the Lord, and that's going to be a blessing. So I'd like for as many of you guys as possible to come out and be a part of that. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. And the first Saturday of October, don't forget that we're having the women's breakfast and Bible study. It will be Miss Candy. I talked to her the other day, and she is excited. She's already got the title for it. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. It's going to be really good. So Come join us at 9 o'clock. Unless you have volunteered yourself and you're designated this time to bring food, you just come. Amen. Just bring yourself, bring your Bible, and come in. Amen. And there will be food for you, both for your flesh and for your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got.
Okay, baby.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So at this time, we'll go ahead and let the children and the teens go and have their impartation from the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And to do offering this morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 4. And this is the story of Cain and Abel. But we're going to look at what was going on that caused Cain to get frustrated with his brother. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth and very upset about this, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou upset? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door." And I want you to know something, that really what the Lord was contending for Cain to understand was that Cain brought his offering in the process of time. In other words, it was not a priority. God was not a priority. And he just casually brought his offering out of his convenience or the time he wanted to, as opposed to the way the Lord requires, which is that we all know our first fruits or our first unction should be to honor God in all that we do. Amen? And so Cain was upset because he wanted to do things his way, and not the Lord's way. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to remember that in everything, put God first. You know, even sometimes when we're giving, I'm not saying that there's not financial pressure and that sometimes you're not in a moment where you're worried and concerned, but I'm also telling you that in those moments, pray and let the Lord help you use your faith. I can remember when I first started giving with Miss Regina, there was times, without a doubt, that because of bills and because of different things and limited finances, we would be concerned sometimes. Well, if we give our tithe, how are we going to do this? Or if we give our tithe, how can we do this? But you know what? When we use our faith without fail, the Lord will meet your needs. Amen? And really, this is the issue he was having with Cain, because he was saying, "Cain, put me first, trust me, and see if you do it my way, if I will not honor and bless everything that you put your hand to." Amen? So this morning, we're just going to believe God for his blessing upon our life, and not just in the area of giving, but I want us to understand that in all areas of life, let's put the Lord first. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just exalt you this morning, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And Father, we rest in you. We have peace in you. The Bible says that you love a cheerful giver, Father. That's someone who gives to you willingly, out of the abundance of their heart, out of their arena of faith, trusting in you, Father. And Lord, I thank you that, Father, you put your hand of blessing and protection upon all of us, Father. You rebuke the devourer on our behalf, Father. You open the windows of heaven on our behalf. And Lord, the Bible says that you give us favor, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to know something, that as believers, we have a responsibility to reach out to others and encourage them. You know, I want you to know that Paul one time said, I become all things to all people so I can hopefully save some. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Doesn't mean you might not be perfect in your pursuits or have the answer you want to get every time, but I want to encourage you this morning to make sure that one thing we're doing in our life is reflecting our faith to other people. Amen? And oftentimes giving our testimony to invite other people into the opportunity to know the Lord Jesus. Amen? But I just want to start this morning. We're going to be talking about being victorious and overcoming and walking in who we are. But this morning I want to start right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, it says, know you not that they which run a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, my efforts are not in vain. When I'm in pursuit of God, there's no denying what the goal, what the prize is. And that's that when we finish this life, we get to step into eternity with the goodness and the blessing of the Lord on us. And it says, but I keep under my body and bring it under suggestion, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Woo! Praise God. Remember, the Bible says this, without holiness, none of us shall see the Lord. And what that means is, not just when we get to heaven, we have to live our life a certain way on this earth, so that as we walk through the process of life, without fail, we're going to see the Lord on our life. Amen? Remember, the Bible says that when we're in pursuit, that we will see God in the land of the living. And here's what I also want to remind you, that Paul is saying here, I put my body under. In other words, there are things that might be a part of us that we have to deny, we have to overcome. We have to, through by prayer, get those things to be lifted out of us and changed so that we can walk in the way that the Lord requires. Amen? I want you to know something. that we cannot expect God to put his hand of approval on everything. We need to understand that the Lord is going to put his hand of approval on us living the way that he declares we should live. And I want you to know something, that what this man is declaring under this is, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. In other words, he's saying that though there might be things in me and in my own nature and in my own way of doing things that I would like to do, or attitudes I might like to have, or the way I present myself, or the way I do certain things, even though I have those things that might be the way I want to do something, I have learned how to put those things under me so that I can be what the Lord wants me to be. Remember, this is the same man who just above this said, I become all things to all people. He says, I even become weak to the weak so that I can win them. In other words, what he does is he makes sure that he's always giving an honoring and an understanding to other people. And in this thing called life, we're not here just to take care of ourselves. Listen, we have to be aware of those we love. We have to be aware of our family. We have to be aware of those around us. We have to be aware of those that we work with. We have to be aware of the fact that if we're going to live for the Lord, there are certain characteristics and natures that should be a part of who we are. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason we want this is because we want to make sure that we're in pursuit of the things of God, that we're striving, that we're going, that we're headed in the direction of the Lord. And I want you to know something. I recognize that not everything is easy. I recognize that not everything comes just that quick. Remember, there are areas of your life where you're going to see immediate change, and there's areas of your life that are going to take a little more of a process of time for God to work with you, but he's patient, long-suffering, and kind, and he wants to work with you right where you're at. It says in Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Let me tell you something. If you don't think you can, you can. Sometimes we don't walk where we think we can because we have fears and we have doubts and we have insecurities and we think we're not worthy and we think we're not able. But I want you to know something, that those are lies from the enemy. Even our life experiences sometimes form us into identities that are not what God has for us. You know, the Bible says that we need to make sure that we understand that when the Lord has resurrected us, redeemed us, when we have went through salvation, we've got to remember that we no longer have a spirit of fear. But we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You know what that means? Is that we can overcome things that would limit us from experiencing, seeing, and knowing who God is in our life. It means that whether we have insecurities, fears, anxieties, whether we have angers and other issues, and whether we have addictions and things that try to battle us, there are in the realm of God the ability to overcome those things that otherwise would captivate us in boundaries and limit us from what the Lord really has for us. The Bible says that we can have rule over our spirit. Hallelujah. What that means is, remember, the Bible declares this, our outward man is dying daily, but our inward man is renewed day by day. And that doesn't mean that our outward man is just getting gray and hair and getting older. That's not what it means about our outward man perishing on a day-to-day basis. What it means is the nature of the carnal man without the Spirit of God should be something that is disappearing on a day-to-day basis in us. Remember, the Bible says in one place, why do you act like mere men? In other words, Why are you still carrying a nature and an attitude that is without God? Because that is not who you are anymore. Amen? I want us to understand something, that when it comes to life, there are things that the Lord has promised us in the Word of God that gives us a guarantee that we can have victory and that we can come out on the other side. Amen? I want to read to us in the book of Romans chapter 8 this morning. And it says in Romans chapter 8 verse 30, it says this to us. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. You know, there's a controversy out there in the religious community, because sometimes when we read in the Bible words like predestinate, there are actual divisions out there that say that it's predetermined who can go to heaven and who isn't. Praise God. It is predetermined in one way. Those who are saved will go to heaven. Woo-hoo! Praise God. That's the only predetermining factor, is have I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because salvation is available to everybody. Amen? And there's not a person on this earth that wasn't predetermined by the power of God to be saved and powerful in him. And this is what it says, to those who are predestinated, in other words, to those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those who he have called, and those whom he has called, he is also justified. That means when the Lord calls upon you and you give your heart to him, the minute we do, how does he justify you? Through the cleansing blood of Jesus. He removes all our transgressions. We're now become his child. We now have a right to be a part of heaven. In fact, the Bible says that we are a part of that same cloud of witnesses that are already there. We immediately become a part of the family. Amen? Right now, I want you to know something, that you are a part of the body of Christ. And that even though you're still here on this earth, living on this earth, you're still connected to those who have already went to heaven. Amen? And the Lord says right here that if he calls you, which he does, he justifies you through the blood. And then here's the part that I like. Here's the part that should infuse us today. It says that whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. What does that mean? He's anointed you. He's appointed you. He's quickened you with supernatural life. All of a sudden, you are not only no longer your own, and you belong to him, but you are a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. I know you guys think I'm a little strange, but so are you. Because the Bible says that we who are redeemed and saved, we are a peculiar people. Woo! Hallelujah. That we are a royal priesthood. Amen? And I want you to know, if you think I'm strange, you're a little bit strange too. Woo-hoo! Because the world is not going to love everything about you, but God is going to love who you are. Amen? And I want us to understand something, that in Christ Jesus, we are who we are. Amen? I love it when the Bible says, I am who I am. Woo-hoo! Not in your eyes and not in your opinion of me, but I am who I am in the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And it says here, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what? If God is for you, and he is, you're saved, you're his, you belong to him. He said that you are his people and he is your God. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? You know what that says? It doesn't matter if the attack comes from the devil, which it always does. Sometimes it comes through people and it comes through circumstances. But the attack comes from the prince of this world. But the Lord says that when he comes for him, he'll find nothing in him. Amen? And if we will lean on the Lord, what this means for us is that when the enemy comes for us, he will find no way to overcome us and defeat us. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. It says here, that if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, even though things will come against us and even though difficulties and challenges will come against us, if God is for us, and he is, none of it will overtake us. Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, I thank you that today we don't stand on the justification of man. We don't stand on the justification of a financial position, Father. We stand solely on the justification of the blood of Jesus and the cleansing salvation that has come through your love. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you that according to John 5:30, that the Bible says, and John 5:24, I'm sorry, that the Bible says that when we start to believe, that is when we pass from death into life. You know, you are alive before you know the Lord, to a degree. Remember, the man even came to Jesus and said, hey, how can I be born again, seeing I'm already a full-grown man, and I've been out of my mother's womb for years now? And the Lord said, not only do you need to be born naturally through the biological process that he created, but you must be born again in your spirit. Amen? And when we get born again, by the power of the Lord, that is when we step out of darkness, or that is when we step out of the limitation of life and we step into the fullness of the life that God intends for us. Amen? Praise God. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want you to know something, that one thing that should happen when you're reading this scripture is right now, right here, it is Christ who died for you. And who is it that condemneth? I want you to know something, that any words of condemnation against you, any words of rejection, words of abuse, actions and mistreatment that has taken away from you and caused you to be belittled and caused you to think that you're worthless, anything like that has come against us right now, it's broken in the name of Jesus, because nobody condemneth you. The Lord hasn't condemned you. Therefore, any voice that is spoken over you, anything that is not of the Lord, is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. You know, when you stand in the Lord and you stand in your faith, you don't just get by in this thing called life. You don't get beat up. You don't get defeated. The truth is that you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. That means that you are strong and great in the victories that the Lord gives us. Amen? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to understand that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says right here in the book of 1 John chapter 5, we're going to begin to read in verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know what that word means? His commandments are not oppressive. You know, sometimes people say that they don't want to serve the Lord because it's too hard, or they don't want to serve the Lord because they can miss out on life. None of that's true. That's a lie. What we have to be careful of is we need to understand that the Lord knows how to give us a life of liberty, freedom, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that sometimes until we truly discover the freedom of Jesus, if we're not careful, we're living in realms of oppression, we're living in realms of lack, and we're living in situations that are less than what the Lord has for us. Because even though for some of us, stepping into his commandments and getting a hold of ourselves and doing things God's way does cause us to give up some things in the natural, I want you to know something. That what you're giving up was not the best for you. What you're giving up was not leading you to eternal life. What you're giving up was not leading you to pleasing God. What you're giving up was not leading you to live your best life. Hallelujah. I want you to know that when you start walking in the commandments of God, when it says that they're not grievous, it means that they're not heavy to bear. And this doesn't mean physical weight either. This means in the realm of the spirit, in the moral sense of knowing who you are and the contentment of who you become in the Lord. I want you to know something, that what this really declares to us is that when we find our path in Jesus, there's liberty and freedom that comes upon us in a way that it cannot come in any other situation or relationship. Amen? I want you to also know that when we start walking in the ways of the Lord, the Bible says here, for whatsoever is born of God, and that means when you're born of God, you're a brand new creature. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. You become brand new, and you begin to walk in the nature of God. And what it says here is whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. I want you to know something. That right now, whether you knew it or not, the most powerful force on this earth is faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. The most powerful force on this earth that can bring life is the release of your faith. Praise God. Most importantly, it brings eternal life. It brings the salvation and the saving grace of God that's going to cause you to have an investment far beyond any natural investment you could ever make. And that is the fact that you are an eternal being that's going to have an eternal destiny. You know, one thing that we can never do in the body of Christ is forget to remind us that not only is there a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to lose and stay out of. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. I do not want to end up there. And let me tell you something. I've heard people say silly stuff. What if I live my whole life for God and I find out that there isn't a heaven or a hell? Boy, I tell you what. I would want to make sure that I live my life in a way that when I get there, I can be guaranteed to know if it's possible I'm going. And I also want you to know this. We already know, because it's written in the Word of God, that the Creator of the heaven and the earth declares that He has went to make a place for us. We have an absolute guarantee by the Word of God of the reality of what God has before us. But I want you to know something. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What does that mean? That means that when life gives us difficulties and issues, that if we will lean into our faith, the Lord will bring us healing, health, and outcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I can remember back when I was really making the decision to serve God forever. You know, there were some things that I knew was going to have to leave my life. And for a moment, you might battle with those things. And you might struggle with those things. And you might think, boy, is it worth it to give these things up? But I want to encourage you this morning and tell you that once you let go of your yesterday, you'll see the liberation of God. You'll see the goodness of God. But I want you to know something right now. The most important thing you have in your life is your faith. There's nothing else that can open you up to the power of salvation through the blood of Jesus that brings us into eternal life. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, it's amazing because faith is what the Lord used to create the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that our Father spoke over those things that weren't as though they were, and so they became. You know, this is critical for us because we need to learn that the way we got saved, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, and then taking action steps to confirm our faith is the way we need to be addressing every part of our life. Amen? When you have something, put it before the Lord. Pray over it. Speak faith over it. Get a word from God. Get a scripture that supports what you're believing God for. And when you do, you will find that as you journey towards God based on faith, you'll come into a place of victory. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. That when you start to use your faith, the overcoming power of God is something that is phenomenal. Amen. The overpowering faith of God is something that can transform any situation and is something that can bring you to places of great victory. Amen? It says here in the Bible, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to know something. That even though we're not happy to arrive there, even though we're not looking to expedite the process of getting there, because the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. And I got to tell you something. I'm not rushing in the line to die fast. But I also will tell you this. That when that moment comes upon us, you will receive a peace from God. You will receive a comfort from the Lord. Because the Bible declares that through the blood of Jesus and through the redemption of our souls and eternal life, that the sting of death has been removed. Amen? And the goodness of God has been released on our behalf. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says right here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. It says, now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. Jesus got hungry, praise God. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled. You know, another account of this same situation in this exact moment is in Mark chapter 11. And when you read that one, it says that they came the next day past it, and the disciples marveled at how quickly it had withered away. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You know, I want you to know something. That it's critical for us to understand that when we release our faith, we should believe that God is able to help us. You know, I want you to know something, that in this reference, the Lord may be talking about a physical mountain, but I want you to understand something, that sometimes in this thing called life, we have situations that become upon us that become like mountains. Situations that become so big, they cause us to feel small. They cause us to feel like we cannot. They cause us to feel defeated. They cause us to feel small. Remember, it's incredible, because sometimes our biggest moments of fear and disappointment come after moments of great victory. Remember the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea and they came out on the other side, and the Lord let the waves overtake Pharaoh and his men, and wow, they were walking in victory. And the next thing that happened was they were given a promised land, and they were given the opportunity to walk into it. And the minute that came upon them, fear overtook them so much that they said, we're grasshoppers. We can't do it. We can't make it. And you know what's interesting about that is the Bible says, because they declared that they were grasshoppers, they made themselves appear to be grasshoppers in the eyes of their enemy. But here's the reality, is that when Joshua rose up and sent spies into the land, guess what the enemy's view of God's people was? We've been terrified and afraid of you since we heard about you crossing the Red Sea with God being with you. You know, sometimes we're still battling fears about the enemy overtaking us, the devil being stronger than we are, failing, and all these things that cause us to have fears, when the truth is, if we could see what he truly thought about us, we would know that Satan was terrified of you from the moment you received your salvation. Remember, Jesus was walking the earth, and some devils even called out one day, oh my goodness, are you here to torment us before the time? In other words, the devil was tormented and terrified of Jesus. I want you to know that sometimes in the middle of our situations, we think the circumstances around us are bigger than we are. We'll sometimes let our fears overtake us and be overwhelmed in a moment. And I just want to encourage you today to remember that your faith already overcame the world when you were strong enough to get saved. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. That one of the worst thing the devil hates about people is that we turn our life to the Lord. Hallelujah. We might not be perfect yet. We might not have all our ducks in a row. But I want you to know something. The scariest thing about your life right now to the enemy is that you are seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, because of that, sometimes we face challenges. Sometimes we face difficulties. Sometimes things will come against us. You know, it's so amazing because I talk to Christian after Christian that will let you know that the minute they made a decision to do something in the Lord, that's when things started coming against them. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that the enemy will attack you in many ways. He'll attack you within your family. He'll attack you within your marriage. He will attack you in your relationships with your children. He might even attack you in your relationships with friends. And I guarantee you, one place he will attack you in is trying to uproot you out of the place of faith that God has joined you to. Without fail, he'll come against us in these situations, and he will try to stop us from moving forward. And I want you to know something, that your best response is to stand up, to stay strong, and to stay in the pursuit of God, even in your most difficult moments. You know, I want to remind you that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is a great story because it's the story of David and Goliath. Praise God. And I think we know the story of David and Goliath. Amen? David rose up and he slew Goliath, and Goliath was coming after the children of Israel. And the biggest thing that Goliath was after was he said, listen to me, send me your strongest warrior, I'll fight him. If he defeats me, guess what? Us Philistines will become a servant to you. But if I defeat him, you guys have to become a servant to us. I want to remind you that the biggest fight against your life right now is the enemy would try to separate you from things of faith in your life so that instead of having to be a slain servant that's no longer having any authority over you, that is conquered under the blood and can no longer pursue you, he would love to have you compromise your faith so that you could become a servant to him. That was the biggest thing the giant wanted. He wanted to defeat someone in Israel so that then he could have the power to have them be servitudes to him. Remember when Moses wanted to bring the people out of Egypt, the biggest reason he wanted to bring them out of Egypt, he said, hey, we have to leave this environment because we're going to go out here and we're going to learn how to worship the Lord. And we need to take everything with us. Remember when Moses left Israel, Pharaoh was contending with him. Leave your women here. Leave your children here. Leave your cows here. And Moses came back and said, absolutely not. We must take everything with us. We can't even leave one hoof of a cow in Egypt because we are not aware just yet in the ways that we need to serve the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know something, that when you come after God, hallelujah, you can't afford to leave any part of your life over here in the world. You got to bring it all out, amen, so that the Lord can give you freedom and victory in every area. I just want to read a few places in the book of 1 Samuel, praise God, because I just want to give a reflection of how the battle was for Samuel and how the battle might be for us, and just give us an understanding of some things that went through. And if we read the whole story, we would find out that guess where one of David's biggest challenges came from when he was going to pursue Goliath? From one of his closest relationships. It was David's own older brother who said, "How dare you? Who do you think you are? Go back to tending those few sheep that you deal with. Who do you think you are? I know your pride and your naughtiness." And he was trying to tear David down from David pursuing the responsibility that had been given to him by God. And we have to make sure that when we're in pursuit of the Lord, we don't let the voices of other people, even good-intending people sometimes, say something to us that is not encouraging in the Lord. Sometimes they don't even know that they're coming against you in a negative way. But we have got to make sure that when we start pursuing the Lord, that we make sure that we hear the voice of what God has for us. Because if he had listened to his brother, he would have turned away from the battle and he would have never pursued what God wanted him to do. That was one of the first challenges that he had. And we're going to go and jump ahead to where David is talking to Saul the king, and he's telling him why he wants to go fight the Philistine. And we're going to get to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it says in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" meaning the giant, "'thy servant,'" meaning him, David, "'will go and fight with the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul," you know, here's a good example of how this man was trained in the natural and had trained his whole life, this giant, to be a man of war. But what they're missing here is that David had something that Saul didn't have, and we're going to see it right here. It says, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the Lord." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." What is so critical here is that David understand the difference of his victories was that he did not go to his battle on his own strength. He did not go on his own wisdom and his own ability, but he went by using his faith and receiving the help of the Lord. And he let the king know, "It wasn't me, it was the Lord that delivered me out of these tumultuous situations." And based on that, Saul said, "Go." And Saul tried to arm David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them." And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. I want to just encourage you right now to understand something. That even sometimes with the best intentions like this king had, he was still trying to move David towards the natural elements of war. And David had to say, "King, listen, you might have knowledge of this stuff, and this might make you feel comfortable, but I have to go in my own skin the way the Lord has prepared me." And so he got those things that he had out of his relationship with the Lord and that he had worked with before, and he used those things. And it says right here, He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came on him and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So here's this big giant with another man in front of him with a shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. I want to remind you right now. Praise God. That when we're standing in the presence of God, we're not by ourselves. And even though the big Philistine looked at him as though he wasn't a worthy opponent, they begin to have an exchange. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you under our hands." Praise the Lord. You know, I love the way David takes us through the steps of his situation, because he says, "I'm not coming to you in my own power and ability. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." I want us to understand something, that when we are facing challenges and when we're facing difficulties, we need to remember to come at those situations in the name of the Lord and not our own ability. Don't ever try to do something in life to be successful at without submitting it to the Lord and letting Him rule in your situation. Praise the Lord. Said, "I'm not coming to you in my own abilities. This battle is not mine. This battle is the Lord's." You know, I think this is the biggest thing that we need to remember today, that what overcomes this world is our faith in God, our faith in His ability to heal, His ability to set free, His ability to make whole. Praise God. I pray that right now fears are breaking off of us right now, because we're stepping into the fact that from this day forward, whatever situation in we go in, we're not going in our own power. We're not going in our own strength. Hallelujah. But we're going to go in the strength of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. More than a conqueror. Unable to separate us from the love of God. Unable to stop our destiny. Unable to hold us back. The things in this world do not have the power to separate us from the love of God and His goodness and His ability to be with us on this journey called life. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just exalt you today. We lift you up. We declare your goodness, Father God. And Father, just like you were with David in a situation that was too big for him on his own, Lord, you will be with us. And you will help us through all things, Father God. And you'll bring us out on the other side, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know what's so powerful is, David's battle was not just for himself, was it? David's battle impacted the lives of so many that were set free by his actions. I want you to know something that you might not even recognize it, but your faith is making room for others. Your faith is a place of encouragement for other people to be refreshed, to be strengthened, and to have moments of goodness by what you come through in this thing called life. Amen? So make sure that you know that you're not on this journey by yourself, that the Lord is with you, and that how you live makes a difference in the destiny of what God has for us. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your glory, Father. We declare your blessing and your goodness, Father God. And we're thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say a prayer right now, Father. I pray for Brother Jim Keller and the procedures he went through, Lord God, that even right now you are expediting his healing. Lord, I thank you that pain has been released from him and that healing cometh upon him in the fullness of what you've done for him, Father, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you right now, there's some people that need me to pray with them about some things, and I'll be here to pray for you. And I just want you to go and be blessed in the Lord, and I thank you for your faith. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.